Fear not. Amen. Moses told the children of Israel, amen, I'm telling you, fear not. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God on today. He's worthy of our praise. Fear not. Amen. As we look at our text, we see how that the children of Israel were at the edge of the Red Sea. And they just escaped oppression of Pharaoh. Just escaped. They were just allowed by Pharaoh, I should say, who had captured them and sent them into captivity, into slavery. He had just let them go. But they were afraid because they saw them chasing them down. Fear is serious. Fear is real. If you allow fear to lie to you and to control you and to hinder you or to stop you, you will never see what God, all that God has for you. Fear is defined as an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something dangerous is likely to cause pain or threat. Write that down, amen, let's say it again. Fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something dangerous is likely to cause pain or a threat. You see, fear is F-E-A-R. It's an acronym sometimes, and if you look at it from this point of view, it's fear, F-E-A-R, or false evidence that appears real. Amen, F-E-A-R, false evidence that appears real. Amen, fear is also failure, expected, and received. If you expect it long enough, you'll get it. Fear, failure, expected, and received. You see, your fear is your frantic effort to avoid reality. Amen, your frantic effort to avoid reality. When you're fearful, yeah, man, you'll stay in the box, you'll put your blinders on, you'll look the other way because you're afraid of the consequences or you're afraid of what your confrontation will bring. Fear will cause you to frantically avoid your frantic effort to avoid reality. And when you're really afraid, amen, when you're really scared, you will forget everything and run. All right, y'all missed that. I said you'll forget everything and run, amen. When you're really afraid, amen, when you're really scared, amen, you'll say, forget this, I'm out of here. You'll forget everything and run. Fear will make you crazy. Fear will make you irrational. Fear will make you unreasonable. Fear will make you apprehensive and suspicious. Fear will make you insecure. Fear will make you paranoid for no reason. Fear will make you act cautious when there is no danger. Fear will cause you to panic because you saw your shadow. Fear, amen, will make you jump because you saw something, but it's all in your head. Amen, fear will make you crazy, amen. It's not really there, it's not really there. Just relax, it's chill, amen, it wasn't nothing. Fear, amen, is a serious thing. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 lets us to know that God has not given us the spirit called fear. The spirit, amen, is serious because it's a spirit. The spirit will take over, amen, and cause you to do things that you otherwise wouldn't do. But God has not given us this spirit of fear. So if God didn't give it to us, it must have come from the devil. Amen. And just like the devil is a liar, fear is a liar. Well, I'm going to say that again. That's worth writing down. Just like the devil is a liar, fear is a liar. Amen. Stop allowing the devil and stop allowing fear to cause you, amen, to be fearful. Stop allowing the devil and stop allowing fear to stop you from being all that God has for you, amen, to be. Stop allowing the devil to lie to you and stop allowing fear to lie to you to the point where you are apprehensive to move forward to accept all that he has for you. You see, if God didn't give us this spirit called fear, then that means we don't have to accept it. If he didn't give it to us, it came from the devil, that means we don't have to accept it. And when we're afraid, when we're fearful, we don't have to allow ourselves to remain in this place. If we pay attention, amen, fear, all it really is faith in the negative. Amen, it said if you believe something dangerous is going to happen, you believe something or someone dangerous is after you is going to get you. You believe, amen, that something is taking place. You believe it. And you may not have proof of it, you may not have evidence of it, but you believe it on the inside. And if you begin to believe things long enough, it becomes reality, whether they are reality or not. If you believe it long enough, it becomes reality. You see, fear, all it is faith, but in the negative. Faith that something bad is going to happen. Belief that the negative will take place. You see, if you can believe in the negative, surely you can believe in God. Oh, that's worth writing down. I'm going to say that again. If you believe in the negative, surely you can believe in God. What are you so afraid of? You see, if you're afraid right now of anything, all you have to do is turn your fear around to believe, start believing in God. Stop believing that the negative will happen and start believing that God will work it out. Stop believing that the negative will take place and start believing that God will work it out. I know you have your experiences, and I know that what they told you and what you saw with your own eyes and what people have said, but fear not. Because it doesn't matter what they said, and it doesn't matter what they experienced, and it doesn't matter what their studies tell them. All that matters is what you believe. Whose report should you believe? You see, I share my testimony because every time I go to the doctor, and I go often now because of what happened to me, they want to check and make sure everything is fine. So I got to go all the time. I go sometimes twice a week, whatever, all these crazy things. Got to go down to clinic, got big old hospital, got to find a parking spot, got to pay for parking, got to get lost, there's all kind of crazy stuff. But I go because I want to be healthy. If it wasn't for that, what happened to me 21 weeks ago, I'd be like, forget this, fuck this, I ain't going down here. But I want to live, so I go. You know, my frustration, I go, and they tell me every time I see a new doctor, they say, but if I had believed the doctor's report, that I shouldn't be here. If I would believe that, maybe I wouldn't be here. Because I believed something negative. But no matter what happened and no matter what took place, I drove myself to the emergency room, and I couldn't even make it. Now, I was at dinner with my children 21 weeks ago. It's crazy. I have to think about it. I was at dinner with them, and my wife wasn't with me. I had to drive all the way to Olmsted, 30 minutes away from here. Drove all the way back home, no problem. My wife pulled up right after me, and I didn't even call her. She just pulls up, thanks be to God. I pull out, drive to the Marymount, which is not even 5 minutes from my house. Couldn't make it. I pulled over, and I asked her to call 911 because I couldn't drive that five-minute drive, but I just drove 30 minutes. I don't remember what happened from that day, Thursday night, to Sunday. They moved me to a room. Now, I went under surgery and all these things between that time, and that's what they tell me. I'm going by what they tell me. I got a scar through me too, but I'm going by what they tell me. I don't remember what happened. But I know one thing I did. Before I blacked out or forgot or couldn't recognize what was going on, I said, Lord, whatever it is that's going on right now, put it in your hands. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what was taking place. I had no clue. But I said, Lord, I trust you. And I let it go. And even when I couldn't pray for myself, and even when I couldn't believe God on my behalf, I know that God was with me because I said, listen, I don't care what this is, and I know it looks bad, and it seems crazy, but I trust you. I'm not going to believe in what I'm seeing and experiencing right now. I'm going to believe in your power. I'm going to turn my faith, my fear, to faith. Yeah. I'm turning around. I'm not going to believe in the negative because my faith is there. I'm believing in the negative, so all I got to do is turn my faith around. Your faith is there. You see, when you are fearful, you have faith.
Yeah.
You believe that the negative will happen. A lot of times, the things we're afraid of haven't even happened yet. Or probably won't even happen to me. I'm just with you. Yeah. You're just afraid. You're making up scenarios in your head, and you're like, oh, I'm scared. That's not even going to happen. It's not even possible sometimes. But we do this because that's what fear does to us. It makes us crazy. It makes us irrational. It makes us all these things. And we begin to overthink everything. And all these things we're overthinking will become reality in our lives. Because we believe in it. We're making it, causing it to be. But I said, Lord, I'm not afraid of what I see. I believe in God. Yeah. My wife said, listen. She had to remember that if I was sitting there, she told me this, if I was sitting there next to her while all this was going on, I would tell her to believe. Don't believe in a doctor report, believe in God. Because God is the physician. They're just practicing. They're doing the practice. That's it. They're just practicing. So she said this wrong in her head. So this helped her to remain calm, like Moses told the Israelites. It helped her just not be fearful. She said all this time, she called all these people. Everybody else around her was afraid. Everybody else was like, what's going on? Everybody was nervous. She was calm. But she said, when the doctor had, after my surgery, the doctor told her, listen, he can still go. The surgery was fine. It was a success. It took longer than we expected, but it was good. But these next 24 hours are critical because he could still die from a stroke. He could still die from blood loss. He could still die from all these things, list by list. She said that's what took her out, made her afraid. For hours, she panicked. She said, and maybe she'll tell her own testimony one day, but I'm telling you. For hours, she panicked. She said, for hours, She was nervous, but she said she remembered, not remembered, but to a point, but she thought, she imagined or envisioned if I was sitting next to her, what I would tell her. That meant so much to me.
Yeah.
You know, as a pastor, you know, as a husband, a father, a leader, whatever, you say stuff sometimes, you wonder if people really get it. But to me, in that crisis, when she said that to me, that touched me in a way that I've never been touched before, and that meant so much to me. That she would say, I couldn't speak. I couldn't say anything. I had a tube down my throat, but she heard my voice.
Yeah.
God, work it out. God, it's in control. Don't worry. It's okay. And I came out of it because I trusted God. Before I could know what was happening, I trusted God. I turned my fear into faith. Yeah, I was nervous and concerned and, you know, wondering what's going on. But I said, listen, no matter what it is, no matter what the report is, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. And so that's what we have to do. We have to learn to turn our fear into faith. Because all of you already have the faith. But you got to turn your negative into a positive. Stop believing that the negative will happen. Believe God. Because surely, if you can believe in the negative, you can surely believe.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. So we have to realize there's no reason to fear like Moses told the children of Israel. We join our text here, right there. And again, I said this earlier, but they had just been free from Egyptian oppression.
Yeah.
Pharaoh the king had enslaved the Israelites because the scripture said they were growing real fast. And so Pharaoh was afraid of them because he said, listen, they're going to grow, outnumber us. And so what we have to do is enslave them so that way they know they're in our land. And they're not going to overcome us. Amen. They're going to be our slaves and our servants because they're going to outnumber us eventually. So we have to realize, and that sounds like America a little bit to me, but I'm not going to go there. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's all about Jesus today. Amen. Yeah. So they enslaved us because they said, listen, well, not us, them, the Israelites. They said, listen, they're outnumbering us and their seed is growing fast and all the things that they're doing, we got to enslave them. We got to put them under. We got to oppress them because we don't want them to overtake our land and steal it from us. So he enslaved them, and God had called Moses out of the Hebrews, amen. Moses had grown up with Pharaoh, but Moses was a Hebrew, and I'm not going to go into the story of how all that took place and how all that happened, but Moses began to be used of God as a Hebrew, and he confronted his old father, if you will. He confronted the man that raised him, and he said, God, I want you to let his people go. You see, according to Exodus, the first chapter, Pharaoh had enslaved them because he was threatened by them. And just like Pharaoh, people will always put you in their box.
Amen.
Because of their own fear. People will try to limit you based on their own insecurities. People will blame you because of their guilty conscience about the ignorant things that they have done or they are currently doing right now. They'll begin to blame you. Let me see your phone. Who you going to see? What you about to do? Knowing they got something to do with themselves, plan later that night. That's why they're so insecure, because they know what they're doing and they wonder if you're doing the same thing. And all of a sudden, there's tension because of the thing that they're doing, and so they begin to blame you because of their own guilty conscience. Be careful. Pay attention. Red flags are not there for a reason. They're there for a reason. Don't ignore them. But just because people have placed you in a box, don't put yourself in a box. Just because people try to limit you, don't limit yourself. Just because people try to protect their own insecurities and project them onto you, don't allow yourself to be fearful. You see, you are more than what he said about you. You are more than what she thinks about you. You are more, amen, than you feel about yourself. You are more than whatever boundary is in your way, amen, that's stopping you from being all that you can be. You are more than whatever your fear suggests you are. You are more than your anxiety dictates that you are. Therefore, fear not. Fear not. So Pharaoh placed the children of Israel into slavery because of his own insecurities, because he was afraid. But the scripture says that God was with him. And at God's direction, he raised up Moses and used Moses to confront Pharaoh and tell him to let God's people go. But Pharaoh was stubborn. He didn't want to just let the children of Israel go. He didn't want to just let them free. Amen. And Moses will confront him, and Moses will tell him, listen, if you don't let God's people go, God's going to send a plague in the land, and all these things will happen, amen, and go take place, and it was too hard for Pharaoh to deal with, so he said, listen, I'll let them go, but then he changed his mind after the plague went away. And this went on 10 different times. He would say, he would agree to let them go, and then after the plague left, he said, no, I changed my mind, I got to go back. And he would say, listen, they can go. Hey, amen, I'm sick of this plague. And I know God is real, and he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And I'm going to let the people go. But as soon as the plague left, he went back. This don't sound like us. Mm-hmm. We're in trouble. And that's not even my notes, but I'm adding it in. We're in trouble. And we need God. Lord, I need you. If you get me out of this, I promise I'll go to church more often. I promise I'm going to give more. I promise. And as soon as he delivers, you're right back in the same situation as you were in the first place. Lord, if you bless me with this, I promise, I'll show up more. Stop it. But the Lord will bless us and deliver us. And we go right back to our old habits. Shame on us. Stop being like Pharaoh. Amen. If he deliver you, you better run free. Amen. If he set you free, you better run free. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. Because a lot of times when you go back, amen, it's much worse. It's much harder to get out the next time. You better run. The scripture says you better run as fast as you can. If he deliver you, let him. Amen. You better go as fast as you can. This happened 10 different times. Pharaoh will change his mind. He will let him go free. Then he will change his mind. But this last time, the 10th time, he had finally agreed to set him free. And they had left. The scripture said in defiance, but they feels ready. They was ready to go this time because they had been through the 10 different times where they was going back and forth. So now they was ready to go. They're like, let's go. We leaving you. I ain't going to say the stuff they said because we're in church. Hey, listen. Forget you, Pharaoh. That's as far as I'll go because we're in church. Ain't that bad. He said, listen. Forget you, Pharaoh. We're leaving. And they left. They got all this stuff and they was gone. They got to the edge of the Red Sea. This brings us to our text. Verses 5 through 9 lets us know he changed his mind again. Even after the 10th time of God proving that he would send the plagues there, he changed his mind one more time. And he said, we can't allow them to leave. He was stubborn. The scripture says he began to chase the Israelites. Even though he had let them go, he began to chase the Israelites. And he took 600 of his best chariots. And he also took just not the only the best ones. He took all the chariots of Egypt. And all the troops as well. To force the Israelites back into submission. When he finally caught up with them, they were at the edge of the Red Sea. And verses 10 through 12 says, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel panicked. When they saw him overtaking them, they cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you leave us in Egypt? Didn't we tell you that this would happen while we were in Egypt? We said, let us stay there. Let us be slaves. It's better to be slaves than a corpse in a wilderness. You see, Pharaoh, as they approached, he was approaching them like he was ready for war. He was approaching them like he was approaching an entire army himself. These poor, helpless slaves didn't probably even have any resources, didn't have anything. All they had was themselves and what they had brought and what they had accumulated over the years as slaves. They had was about to leave, and they saw these big old chariot of armies coming toward them. It's like if you were on foot and you saw all the armies of the United States, the armored tanks and the Navy SEALs coming and the Air Force all coming at you at one time. And you're on foot. You have no defense. You have no gun. You have no knife. You have nothing to defend yourselves against this huge, sophisticated army. They were afraid. They panicked. You see, these slaves, they probably felt powerless because of what they had been through, what they have experienced. They finally probably felt hopeless and defenseless. They probably felt overwhelmed and overpowered. And they had every right to be afraid on their own minds. Because in life, sometimes that's what life will do to you. It will present real danger. Sometimes life will be scary. Sometimes life will make you feel like these Israelites felt hopeless and helpless and defenseless. Sometimes it will help you feel vulnerable, make you feel vulnerable and anxious. Sometimes it will make you feel concerned and stressed out and afraid of what's happening, what's coming next. This is how the children of Israel felt when they faced this Israelite army coming against them. They panicked. They were on foot, but all these chariots and armored tanks were coming at them. Not armored tanks. I'm just using that as an example for today, correlating it to today. But it was like having armored tanks coming at you, and you're on foot. You have no defense against these people. When they saw them, they panicked. They began to complain because they thought and felt like they were about to die. They begin to complain because they are fearful. You see, fear will cause you to complain about your life, although you have a great life. I'm going to say that again. That's worth right now. Fear will cause you to complain about the life that you have because you want more, you want better, you want this, you want that. You will begin to cause you to complain about what you have and complain about your life, although you have a great life.
Amen.
You may not have everything you want, amen, but you have to understand that you're blessed beyond measure. Amen. You have to realize, amen, yes, it may not be the best house, but it's my house. It may not be the best car, but it's my car. Amen. I can't, amen, afford to have certain things in my life, but my life is more than the material possession that I can have. My life is more than that raggedy man I'm chasing after. My life is more than that raggedy woman that I want so bad in my life. My life is more than those things, and I'm not going to be sad because I can't have what I don't need anyway.
Amen.
Spend so much time being angry and upset because he won't call me and she won't do right and all these things, but she's not for you. Let it go.
Amen. Amen.
I want a bigger house. I want a nicer car. You know how much house you're going to get a bigger house, you're going to have a bigger bill.
Yeah.
You can't afford to pay the bills you got now.
Yeah.
I want a bigger, nicer car. That nicer car will have more gas. It's going to be more. So who, to whom much is given, much is required. Learn to appreciate what you already have. Fear will make you begin to complain about the life that you have, although you have a great life. Fear will cause you to take your blessings for granted. Fear will cause you to criticize when you should be praising. Amen. I'm criticizing because I want more, and I want my check was more, and I wish my paycheck was a little higher, and I wish they would promote me, and I wish this, and I wish that. But instead of criticizing, you should be thanking God that you get a paycheck at all. You should be thanking God that you have a job in the first place. You should be thanking God that you have an opportunity to be promoted. You should be thanking God. Instead of criticizing, you should be praising, but fear will cause you to criticize.
Amen.
Instead of praying. Fear will cause you to overlook the blessings and the gifts that are right in front of you. It will cause you to panic when you should be grateful. It will cause you to be trapped, feel trapped when you have been set free. You see, the children of Israel were afraid for their lives. They told Moses they'd rather be slaves. Why did you let us go? You should have kept going after him. He said no the first time. You should have went back 9 more times. We told you we wanted to be a slave. Now, they weren't just saying that 10 minutes ago when they lifted their hands in defiance and was running away. They were excited. They was happy. But now because fear came and they were panicked, they said, well, we should stay in Egypt all this other time. Why are you going to bring us out here? We told you this would happen. Why? I'd rather be a slave than a corpse in the wilderness. I'd rather be a slave. Take me back to what I had before. Take me back to my oppression. You see, although they wanted to be free from the Egyptian oppression, they preferred, because of fear, they prefer slavery over freedom because of their fear. Fear will make you prefer slavery over destiny. Oh, man, y'all missing a lot of good stuff today. Fear will make you prefer slavery over destiny because destiny is challenging. Destiny is uncomfortable. Destiny makes you get up, amen, and do stuff that you normally wouldn't do. Destiny says, listen, I'm challenging you higher. I'm calling you out of war. I want you to give better. I want you to do more. I want you to go to Bible study and do more things than you do right now. Destiny says, listen, I have more for you, but you have to come out of your comfort zone.
Yes, Lord.
But because we're afraid, we stay right here because it's comfortable and it's easy and it's comfort cozy. But fear will cause you to want the desire to comfort cozy. Prefer the comfort cozy rather than destiny. All that God has for you. Because destiny can be uncomfortable. Destiny can be a challenge. Destiny can be lonely. Destiny can be a fight. And even when you get to your destiny, sometimes it's a fight to stay there. Sometimes. But because destiny is better than slavery, you have to keep chasing it. It's worth the fight. It's worth the fight. It's worth the fight. Fear will make you want to familiar over your freedom. It causes you to desire what's convenient, although instead of what's best for you. It causes you to want to stay with a man that doesn't know your value. It causes you want to stay with a woman that doesn't treat you right. It causes you want to stay with a company year after year, although you should be starting your own business. It causes you to want to desire your past. Amen. It causes you to miss what you used to have, although your past is toxic and you don't need that no more. Amen. Fear will make you wish for something you already know is not for you. It will cause you to crave chaos because you become used to it. It will make you tolerate oppression because it feels safe. It'll cause fear, will make you tolerate, amen, slavery, because it feels safe. They may not be doing me right, but at least I know I have this, and at least I know I have that, amen. You'll trade off the value, amen, for something small that feels safe. But fear is a liar. Stop allowing fear to rob you of your purpose. Sometimes the only way to overcome fear is to go after your destiny. Amen. You just got to go for it. Amen. With fear in your heart, with tears in your eyes, you just got to go for it. You just got to face it. Amen. Even though you're afraid, go after your dreams. Even though you're afraid, go after your goals. Even though you're strange, afraid, go after all these ambitions that you have in life. Even though you're afraid, leave your past in the past. Amen. It's difficult. It's challenging. And you're used to it. It's been this way all this time. But you have to understand, it don't have to always be this way. Amen. I can make a change. I can do better than I did before. Even though it's comfortable, I have to make this move. Even though I'm afraid, I have to move forward. Don't allow fear to make you a coward. Don't allow fear to stop you one more day. Don't allow fear to paralyze you one more moment. It's time to face your fears, to leave your fears in the past. It's time to fear not. So because of fear, the Israelites wanted to go back to slavery rather than fight for their freedom. But Moses told them what I'm telling you, fear not. He told them in verses 13 and 14, he said, don't be afraid. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Egyptians you see today, you'll see them no longer. The Egyptians you're fighting today, you'll face them no longer. Tomorrow when you wake up, there'll no longer be a struggle. In other words, whatever you're afraid of is no match for God. Amen. Whatever worries you is no match for the God of the universe. The Lord will defend you if you only be still. The Lord will rescue you if you do not fear. The Lord will fight your battles if you only be still. The Lord will deliver you, amen, if you just learn to trust him. The Lord will provide, amen, if you begin to know that he was your provider. Don't panic, amen. Just fear. Just stand still. Don't worry, just stand still. Don't be afraid, just stand still. Don't fight, amen, just stand still. Don't stress out, don't doubt, amen, just stand still. Don't even fear, just stand still. You see, Romans 8:31 says, if God is for you, who can be against you? If God is fighting for your if God is fighting for you, if he's fighting your battles, I don't care who comes against you. They're no match for God. If God is fighting for you, amen, if God is going before you and preparing a way, I don't care how big your fears are. They are no match for God. If God is on your side and he is fighting your battles and he is fighting for you and he is for you, I don't care how big your problems are. They are no match for God. And I don't care what you're going through. If God is fighting for your battles, if he is fighting for you, if he is going on your behalf, amen, I don't care how many people come up against you. If he is fighting for you, they are no match for God. And I know, amen, it's difficult and I know it's challenging, but if God is fighting for you, if God is going up against your enemies, I don't care how small your fear makes you feel. Your fear is no match for God. God is greater than your fear. He's greater than whatever you're afraid of. He's stronger. He's bigger. He's more powerful than all the things you're facing. So get ready to close. The children of Israel were afraid. And although they have recently witnessed God deliver them, he delivered them 10 different times. But Pharaoh changed his mind. But God still kept delivering them. He kept delivering them. And he delivered them out this last time. And they were reached all the way to the edge of the Red Sea. And they had just witnessed him deliver them miraculously from the Egyptian oppression. But they were still afraid because they saw danger in front of them. You see, panic and fear will cause you to forget what God has done. Panic and fear will cause you to forget all what God can do. It'll cause you to forget. You have a short-term memory. You see, God delivered them miraculously 10 different times. But because they were afraid, this one time wasn't good enough. Those 10 different times wasn't good enough for today. It'll cause you to forget what God has done and what God can do. It'll cause you to forget what God says about your situation. It'll cause you to forget what you saw God do with your own eyes for somebody else. It'll cause you to forget what you've experienced him do in your own life. If you know what he has done, you'll know what he can do. Amen. I'm going to say that again. If you know what he has done, you'll know what he can do. And that's why it's important to get into your word, because this is where he reveals himself to you. He shows you who he is, and he shows you what he can accomplish, and he shows you what he can do. If he did it for Abraham, he can do it for Charles. If he did it for Moses, he can do it for you. If he did it for David, amen, he spared David's life. By that with the giant, amen, I know he can spare my life. He was with Job when he went through all the things he had to go through, all the trials that he had to face. And I know he'll be with me in my trials, because he used a sinner like Jonah, amen, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, amen, to a lost and dying world. I know he can use me, amen, although I'm a sinner. He can use me if I only surrender. He raised Jesus from the dead, amen, on the third day. I know if he did it for Jesus, he can raise me up out of my dead situations that I'm facing day after day. Amen, although it seems impossible. Possible. Amen. If he raised up Jesus, amen, I can face my impossible situations. Amen. It seems impossible, but he raised up Jesus on the third day, amen, which also seemed impossible, but he did it. Amen. They put a guard in front of the stone, but he rolled the stone away anyway. If he can do it for them, he can do it for me. Amen. You see, if I know what he did in the past, I know what he can do right now. We must learn to allow God's word to eliminate our fear. We must learn to allow his word to cause us to be still and to trust him. We must allow his word, amen, to give us hope in hopeless situations and cause us to overcome our fear. Moses said in verse 13, I'm prophesying today, take a good look at these Egyptians, because what you see today, you'll see no more. Whatever you're facing right now, by faith, you'll see it no more. What are you so afraid of? Whatever it is no match for God. What are you so fearful of? What makes you anxious? What keeps you up at night? Whatever it is, I'm here to tell you, it's no match for the living God. So just be still and know that he will fight whatever it is, dear not. Put your hands together and come to the Lord. Fear not. Fear today. You never heard the gospel message that Jesus came to die for your sins. You're here today, you never heard that Jesus was the one that died for you and stayed up at old rugged cross. Here today, you never knew that sin was any time to go contrary to the word of God. Well, God says, go left, and we said, no, I'm going to go right today. We're in sin. It's simple as that. It's not just murderers and fornicators and liars and robbers and thieves and all these people. If you're here today, you never heard the gospel message of the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came, he didn't die on the cross for my sins. He was risen on the third day, and he's seated at the right hand of God, alive forevermore. Scripture says, even maybe now, making intercession for us, praying for us on our behalf. Here today, never heard the gospel message, won't you come and invite Jesus into your heart? Make him the Lord, amen, and Savior of your life. If you're here today, desire prayer for any reason whatsoever, now is the time, and today is the day. If you're here today, you heard the gospel message a thousand times, you know that Jesus came to die for your sins. You know that he rose on the third day. You know he's praying for us, and you believe he's coming back, but you haven't made him the Lord of your life. You haven't been living for him as the Lord.